Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think right now there's too much uncertainty. Hopefully we'll all know more by the end of April. From an NHL standpoint, and I'm sure this is what the other leagues are doing, we're viewing all of our options. We want to be ready to go as soon as we get a green light. And the green light may not be crystal clear because there may still be some places in the country where you can't play and other places where you can. We're looking at all options. Nothing's been ruled in. Nothing's been ruled out. And it's largely going to be determined what we do by how much time there is, because we have next season to focus on as well, and the health of the country. And by the country, I mean both Canada and the U.S., obviously.
So that's NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman speaking the other day. I think it was Mike Tirico, NBC Sports. And so I've had this on my list here for a couple of days. Just want to get to it here. And that is the NHL restarting and the big hurdles there for the NHL. They're different than the NBA. You know, they need frozen sheets. They need a place that has multiple rinks in one location. They're talking about going to four different locations. You know, we've all heard what they've been talking about so far. North Dakota has been on the map. Manchester, New Hampshire, a story that's been denied apparently, is or is not on the map. Emailer sent me a good one today. Park City, Utah. Park City, Utah apparently has rinks and infrastructure set up from the Salt Lake City Olympics in whatever year that was.
Good
so,
one.
Yeah, so that's like, you know, that, you know, so that's another one. I think Utah has a lower incidence, you know, of COVID. So that might be a place, never mind, again, something with some infrastructure to handle, like, a, for lack of a better term, a camp, right? You know, so they have to work. They can't, like the NBA, just go to Vegas and put a ice sheet down in a ballroom or a casino floor or a function room or a convention space. They actually need rinks, and they need multiple rinks in one spot. And so it's trickier for them in that regard. But, you know, to listen to Bettman, he thinks that, you know, that there's that they're ruling nothing out. So they're looking at all of it, which is great. But when I listen to him, and the more I read the NHL stuff, the more I feel like their biggest hurdle is appeasing all the teams. And when I say appeasing all the teams, I'm talking the teams that are not in the playoffs, who think they deserve a chance to be in the playoffs. And this is starting to go, again, right up my mail chute, Maz, that you know, the NHL is going to bend over backwards to appease the teams that are 10th, 11th, or 12th in their conference. Are you kidding me? Before I play another piece of sound, do you have a thought?
Well, I think it's asinine. I've told you this in the past. Like, the idea, you know, if you're limited in time and you can only play the postseason, then you stop it right where it is and you make the judgments on what you have. Mike, remember, in the strike year, okay, the strike year, the year the Bruins went to the Cup against the Blackhawks, they played a 44-game schedule. And nobody talks about it like, oh, the Bruins got to the Cup that year, but it was a strike short. We never put an asterisk next to it. They've played considerably more than that this year. In fact, you know, basically you're talking about 50% more than that. They're closing in on 70 games. What the hell are they worried about keeping the last few teams happy for?
So I get the sense, like, this is one of the biggest hurdles the NHL is facing, is appeasing, like, these crappy teams towards the bottom of the standings in each conference about how they think they're going to get screwed out of the playoffs or something. Jimmy, play that second cut that I had on fairness for all clubs. This is what tipped me off.
Our clubs, if nothing, are extraordinarily competitive, and whatever we do has to be fair, which is why there's been some public speculation in the media about neutral site games in remote parts of the country. That's just part of considering all of the potential options, depending on how we find the circumstances. But when you talk about fairness, you know, we also have issues about if we get to play a playoffs, who gets in, if we can't complete the regular season. We had, I think, seven teams on the bubble, and they all think they would have had a chance. We have to deal with the lottery in order of selection in the draft. So the best thing and the easiest thing would be if at some point we could complete the regular season and then go into the playoffs as we normally do. We understand that that may not be possible, and that's why we're considering every conceivable alternative to deal with whatever the eventuality is. But again, it doesn't even pay to speculate, because nobody in any of the sports knows enough now to make those profound decisions.
Okay. When he keeps talking about our teams are extraordinarily competitive, it has to be fair. When you talk about the fairness issue, seven teams are on the bubble. Yeah, I'm just reading between the lines here, but I think he's getting an earful from all these crappy teams out of the playoffs saying you can't come back and just go with the 16-team playoff format. We're still in it. To which, you know, and I'm going to be honest, it's mostly my Montreal bias. But the Montreal Canadiens are technically still in the playoff hunt. They are one of these teams that I think they certainly aren't on the bubble, but mathematically they still have a chance. But let me give you the math. They have 71 points. The team they would be chasing, the second wild card or Toronto, have 81 points. So they're 10 points behind. They've played 71 games. Okay, they played 71 games, and they are 10 points out of the playoffs, and all the teams ahead of them have games in hand. The Carolina has 81 points. They have three games in hand. Columbus has 81 points, has a game in hand. Toronto has 81 points, has a game in hand. Okay, Montreal's technically alive, but they are not on the bubble. And they played 71 games. I went back and looked at it today. They were not in the playoffs on Thanksgiving. They haven't been in the playoff structure since late November. And it's like, no, you haven't been a playoff team all year. You're not going to be a playoff team if any format comes back. Where Montreal is in any sort of playoff, that's going to piss me off. Well, that's just another thing I wanted to get off my chest.
Yeah, and you know who you should blame for this? The nerds, because these teams all have nerds that are likely using formulas that can show, well, you know, this game, this team could have dropped this one, and the formula shows that at this date, after all these remaining games, we would have made the playoffs. And what the NHL would need to do here, if this was to be implemented and they went further, is just say, no, we're not applying your stupid formula. What we're going to apply is common sense. You weren't going to make the playoffs. Your coach stinks. Use common sense. That's it. Screw your formula. These teams don't make it. How it looked when it got shut down is how it's going to look going into this thing.
Yeah, I mean, to me, look, there are really about three teams, I think, that you could say that have a legitimate gripe right now. Okay, three. One is the Islanders, because they're out right now by a point, but they've played two fewer games than the teams that are in. Okay, so that's one. And then I would put Vancouver and Minnesota on the list for the same reason, that they've played two fewer games than Winnipeg. They're out, and Winnipeg's in as a wild card. So that, but that's it. Now, can they come up with some way to appease those teams, or, you know, do a little play-in or something? I don't know. I mean, again, the two games is 4 points. I don't need to do the math for you. But everybody else, oh, please, go to hell. You've played 70 games. You're not getting in.
Like, I mean, I'm willing to grant a little bit of a bigger bubble than you are even, Maz. I mean, I look at the East there, and the Islanders, Rangers, and Panthers. Okay, those three teams are all within a point or two of the last playoff spot. They've all played between 68 and 70 games, and they've all been in the playoffs in and out for the balance of the year. They've been in, they've been out, they've been on the bubble, they've been back and forth, they've been vying with each other for the wild cards or the third spot in their division. I'd even say I'd be willing to give three extra teams in the East a chance to play their way in, because they've been in it all season long. Montreal has not been in it for 3 months, and they're way out of it. F off if Montreal gets a chance. And you know why I'm saying this too, because I know what's going to happen. They're going to have some sort of playoff format where Montreal is allowed in. They're going to back their way in. You're going to face them in the playoffs, and they're going to beat the Bruins. I know that's coming. I can feel it in my loins, but they do not deserve it. They do not deserve it. And similarly, in the West, Maz, as you mentioned, Vancouver, Minnesota, they're right there, point or two. They've been in it. They've been out of it. Roughly the same amount of games played. They deserve a chance, I think, to get their way in. So, like, if you want to tell me there's four extra teams, something like that, a little play-in among four or, you know, six teams, that's probably stretching it, I think we're okay. But if we're going to haul off and just say if you're mathematically alive, you're on this bubble and you get a crack at it, oh, F off. Please, don't give me that.
Yeah, I can't stand it. And I'll tell you what, too, the way Bettman is talking is like, oh, my gosh, the margin, you know, the margin is so thin. We have competitive teams. It's a hard thing to appease everybody. Listen, the NHL, for those final spots, often goes down to the final day every year or the final weekend or whatever. It's like, this is not a novel thing. Usually, if you miss by a point or two. That's the way it works.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm probably putting the cart before the horse there. I mean, I'm complaining about the what the playoffs are going to look like when they come back, when there's, I don't know, the odds of them coming back are probably less than 50-50. I mean, I don't know. I'm still hoping for it. I'd like to think that they're all working towards it. I'd like to think what we said the other day still applies, and that is there's a little bit of momentum for these leagues returning, and I think the news is getting just marginally a hair better by the day, and maybe momentum builds in that direction, and by the summer these leagues are back up, and I'm still, you know, choosing to believe that, but you know, if you're handicapping it, maybe the odds are against them even returning. So for me to complain about Montreal getting into a play-in tournament is sort of, I know, the cart before the horse. But it's another little itch I have to scratch. It's another little obsession that, you know, that I have. And if we can't serve our obsessions on this show, Maz, what good is this show?
Oh, no, no, no. We need to be obsessed. Obsession is a very big part of this program.
Yeah. This show is our release to release our obsessions.
I don't need to tell you, Jimmy Garoppolo is my obsession.
I haven't noticed. All right, so we'll get back to your calls on whatever you want right after these words. Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings.
Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Felger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
So that's why I believe we're going to play. I'm just an optimist that way. It's like, well, we're not done. I mean, we still have lots left in us. And a good team, good chance to win a Stanley Cup. So that's what kind of motivates me right now. I mean, the powers that be will decide that down the road. And hopefully we get our opportunity. If not, then that'll be an interesting question to answer then once, if they do shut it down, you know, how people will feel. Because I still believe we'll have our opportunity. We're just going to have to wait a little bit.
Okay, there's Bruce Cassidy. He's on the Athletic podcast with Billy Jaffe, Fluto, and Joe McDonald the other day. And he says his team has a good chance to win a Stanley Cup. Oh, yeah. I didn't mention that last segment, but that's the lead. So, as a Bruins fan, you better hope they come back, because this was a wire-to-wire best team in the league, and they've got a real shot this year. Maybe their last real one for a long time. So there's stakes here for the Bruins, for the NHL to come back. Back to your phones on everything, as promised. Dawn in Scituate on Brady. Hi, Dawn.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I am not well-versed in NFL contracts, but I had heard that Tom Brady's contract, the one that just expired, was included numbers of like $30 million for 20 and $32 million for 21. And so my question is, if it was an absolutely terminating contract, why would it include numbers? And if not, did one of the sides have something that they could have done to continue that?
Okay. So the short answer is that the numbers in the NFL contracts and salary cap and finances are all fake. fake numbers. And so that's exactly what they were. They could have said those years, Don, were worth $60 million a year. They automatically voided, complete garbage years. And like most NFL contracts, are not worth the paper they're written on. Could someone have done something to keep them under those terms or others? Yes, of course. The Patriots could have stepped up and given them the exact contract that Tampa did or a better one and kept them. It was up to the Patriots, and they didn't want to do it. Simple as that. John in Milford on the NHL playoff format. Hi, John. John A.
How's it going?
Good, John.
I think they could have the regular season finish the way they need it to, as like their tune-up games, and shorten like the first two rounds of the playoffs to kind of have what they need so they get their fairness in, and you still get the hockey you need, and you're not starting right at the playoffs to start with.
100%, John. You're right. And that's what I think they need to do. I think in lieu of a play-in tournament for the bubble teams, or going point percentage and going straight to the playoffs, everybody is going to need a couple of games, right? I mean, you can't just, even after a training camp, even if you have an abbreviated, you know, week-long, two-week-long training camp, the NHL playoffs, I mean, you got to play some games. So what they should do is have like a little, you know, most teams have between like 10 and 12, 13, 14 games left. Have a, can you make it six? You know, can you have a six-game regular season just to cap it off and get all those games in hand equal? So maybe some teams play one or two extra to get their games in hand all straightened out. So, you know, let's just call it, for lack of a better thing, a 74-game season.
Right.
Bruins have played 70. Other teams have played 68, but everyone's sort of in that range. So you're playing between four and six games. You get to 74. Everyone finishes with 74 games. That cleans up those bubble teams. And meanwhile, the teams that are already firmly in, like the Bruins, get their tune-up games. And then if you need to shave time, I'm with the caller. First, second round, maybe five-game series instead of seven-game series. You eliminate the off days between, you know, because they're not traveling. And, you know, you also don't need to, I mean, just go back-to-back instead of the day off in between every playoff game. And you should be able to fit it in. I think that should be the plan.
I mean, to me, that's the easiest way to do it. You set a number, like you said, 74, 75, whatever. You set that number and you say, when everybody gets there, that's it. And we're gonna pick up the schedule where we left off. So you will play the opponent, in the Bruins case, that you were due to play in game 71. But once you hit 74, again, or 75, draw the line wherever you want, as long as everyone ends up at the same number. As soon as you hit that line, your schedule's over. You're not going to play the last, you know, seven, eight games on your schedule. And if that means you don't get to play someone that, you know, you're fighting with for a playoff spot, too bad. We got to draw the line somewhere. That's it.
Yeah, and to me, a big thing is I also don't want a play-in tournament for the bubble teams while other teams have byes. In other words, you know, if the seven teams on the bubble play a little play-in tournament to fill out the playoffs, and the Bruins are sitting there, and then the Bruins go straight to the first round of the playoffs against a team, because they're the number one seed, right? They would face one of these bubble teams. They're going to go right into the playoffs and face a team that just played a three-game series or a couple of games to get up to speed. That's a disadvantage to the Bruins.
So, unfair.
I mean, I think everyone has to play a couple of games before you get going. Pete in Delaware on the Jared Stidham question. Hi, Pete. What do you got?
Hey, guys. How are you all doing? I hope you're holding up.
You too.
So I would keep Stidham and not draft a quarterback at 23, because I think a lot of these quarterbacks are overrated, and I think Stidham's got a chance. But I wanted to ask your opinion. Mike Lombardi trashing Tua. My radar went up, and my radar is telling me that Belichick may want Tua and is hoping he could fall to like 15 or something, to a position that they may be able to go up and get him without giving away the farm. I wonder what you thought about that.
Okay, since you mentioned it, let's hit on some of this Lombardi stuff. First of all, before we get to Tua, let's get the cut on Stidham, if we could, Jimmy. And so Lombardi sort of contradicts, doesn't sort of, I think he pretty strongly contradicts Todd McShay's contention early this week that Jared Stidham is not ready, and the Patriots are waiting for the market to shake out, and then they'll see what shakes out of the tree. But Stidham is not the guy. He's not ready. Mike Lombardi, again, who used to work with Bill in Cleveland and here, Chief Belichick Bobo, but, you know, often has good insight into what the Patriots are doing because he's still so close to Bill, on his podcast, had this to say about that McShay report on Stidham.
What you try to do is base some of your opinions on facts. And, you know, where I think Todd, unless he knows somebody in that building, you know, I don't know if he has any facts to his opinion. It's just basically he watched him play in the Jet game. He watched him play in college. He's never seen any of the practices during the week. So it's just an opinion. I think Stidham's way better than Todd does. I think Stidham was a better college player. I think if you're going to quote the Auburn game and use that as his, then you're not paying attention to Auburn. You've got to really understand the dynamics. Now, do I think the Patriots could easily go out and sign Cam Newton? Yeah, I think there's no doubt they could easily go out and sign Cam Newton. I think if they could sign Jameis Winston, if he didn't have some of the off-the-field stuff with him, I think they would probably go out and sign Jameis Winston. That being said, they're going to give Stidham every opportunity. But where I think Todd misses the boat here a little bit is that they're not all in on Stidham. Stidham's going to have to earn it. You know, where they're not being blinded by Stidham. They're not being the Mitchell Trubisky MVP Mitch and just saying, okay, it's your job. They're going to go in with an open mind. And I think that, to me, is more important than anything.
Okay, Maz, what'd you read into that?
Okay, so first of all, like I just think that it's Lombardi saying that he's obviously shooting down McShay, and aside from, you know, trying to attack McShay's credibility a little bit, you know, I thought he laid out what I deem to be a more plausible scenario for Stidham at this stage, which is that they think he can play. They're not sure if it's now. So they're going to hedge their bets a little bit and see how it goes, but they're not completely fully. I feel like he halved it a little bit, whereas McShay was saying definitively Stidham's not ready. Other people have said, nope, Stidham's the guy. He's going to be it. I think Lombardi is probably closer to the truth, and I'm probably putting stock in his relationship with Belichick, which is to say, hey, look, they think this kid can play. They don't know yet. We're going to see how it goes, and he's going to have to win the job. And my only question or concern is about Hoyer. If they think Hoyer's the guy to push him, I don't think Hoyer's good enough ultimately to push him. I think they're going to need to do something there in the draft.
Okay, but if you think they're going to move on from Hoyer, you've got another thing coming. I don't know how it ended with him the year before. Maybe he felt there was something coming his way the year before he went to Indy, but now they talked him back into it, promising him that you could compete for the starting job. I don't think Bill's going to do him like that.
No way. It's like they were waiting for him to shake free from Indianapolis.
So, I mean, I think Hoyer's here one way or the other, Mass. And I think he gets, if Bill promised him a chance to compete, he's going to take reps with the ones in training camp, no matter who's here. You watch. Bill's going to, I think, live up to that promise.
So, again, all I've said, look, I told you, I think they're going to carry three. That's what my opinion. You know, they need a veteran quarterback. They can't go in with Stidham and a guy they just took in the draft. I don't think that that's enough. So I think Hoyer's going to be on the team. I'm just telling you that to get the most out of Jarrett Stidham, I just don't think Hoyer is quite good enough to be the guy to push him. I think he needs a bigger threat than that.
Meanwhile, Jimmy, do you have the Tua cut? We didn't break it out ourselves. I heard the Zolak and Beatles program play it earlier. Just let me know if you have it. If you don't,
Stand by. Give me about 60 seconds. Phil, please.
Okay. Well, basically, Maz, I don't know if you heard it, but Lombardi was talking about how often he gets hurt and how many surgeries he's had and, you know, how his physicals and his medicals are just horrible. And he's not the only guy to do it. Rex Ryan has been doing this, too, on ESPN. But obviously, Rex has no dog in the fight with Bill. Lombardi does. And so do you read into that in any way, shape, or form?
Well, so look, and I have not heard the actual cut. I'd love to hear it when Jimmy has it, we'll play it. But if you're asking me, is it beyond Bill to use Lombardi to get someone to mess around with the news and the perception of Tua out there, so on the chance that Tua could slip in the draft and slip down to them at number 23, as the caller suggested? No, I don't put that past the Patriots at all. I think Bill plays those kinds of games all the time. I think he knows the kind of weight his opinion and word carry. And so he's more apt to say, well, if we get any chance of getting this kid. Because remember, the other element with Tua, and this is obvious, he played for Saban. So if Bill believes that, you know, Saban's in his ear saying, Bill, if this guy falls to you at 23, you got to grab him. He's the real deal. Then I can totally see Bill messing around with everybody else.
Yeah, I don't even need to hear the cut to know that Lombardi's a snake. And what he's doing here is probably trying to devalue Tua as an asset so that he can drop the 23 and the Patriots can take him.
Well, what I do love is the, just from a talk show host standpoint, the divergence of opinion on Tua is really strong. I mean, you know, Gasper's really high on him, right? Like, there's other people who think he's the guy. You know, he's the guy that I think Gasper says he likes him more than Burrow, right?
Yeah, I like him a lot, but a dislocated hip, and I know, look, it's better living through chemistry, and modern medicine has made a lot of changes. But that used to be a career ender for guys, and at that position, that kid's taking a beating. Lombardi's not wrong to bring up multiple surgeries, but that last one, I don't know, that's a red flag.
Okay, when we get the sound, we'll play it for you. And we'll pick up the conversation later on in the show as well. But let's do an update here with Big Jim Murray. We updated you on the NHL. We want to update you on Major League Baseball. And they came up, and it feels like they're sort of ahead of these other teams, or have talked out some things ahead of these other teams. And that, you know, proposal about all heading to Arizona was a whopper. We want to follow up on that 2 days later. How is that playing among players? How's that playing among everybody else? We'll hit on that right after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it. I don't know if I could look at my kids just through a screen for 4 or 5 months. I think there's a lot of figuring out to do. I think there's a right way to do this, and I'm confident that Major League Baseball, the Players Association, all the owners, all the teams, players, I think that we're going to be able to find a way to come together and iron this stuff out and figure out a way that's safe and a way that's going to please the masses. And whatever that is, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not the one that has to figure all that out.
Chris Sale from the other day, not too keen on that idea on quarantining and heading to the biosphere in Arizona for 4.5 months, as he doesn't want to talk to his kids through a screen for 4.5 months. I know Murray has some developing opinions on this whole thing. Murray, why don't we start with you? How do you feel about this?
Yeah, since these Sale comments, the more I've thought about it, and maybe it's because I've been in a bad way for going on 2 weeks now, but the more I thought about it, I think this baseball idea is stupid. I think all of these biosphere ideas are kind of stupid. You're going to take players, isolate them, seal them off, and they're now going to go hotel to field, field to hotel, hotel to field, field to hotel, hotel to field, field to hotel, over and over and over again for basically 5 months. If I'm a player, I get my backup about this. I can understand Chris Sale's concern, and frankly, I wouldn't do it. That's not my job. That's prison. What you're asking them to do is play prison baseball, and if you're someone like Chris Sale or JD Martinez or Mike Trout or someone who's made their nut and their name, I'm not doing it. And I know we supposedly care about mental health nowadays, right? Like, putting players in an environment like that, it's detrimental to some of their mental well-being. It is the isolation, being away from their families, the monotony. Someone who might like actually have substance abuse issues, like I know Josh Hamilton doesn't play anymore, but use him as an example. Someone like that's going to be crawling out of their skin after like 3 weeks. So you can maybe look at guys like that as soft. You're getting paid all this money. But I think that's a reality. Like, this would be a detriment to a lot of guys' mental well-being. And it'd be great to have sports back. Believe me, I'm desperate. I want to have them back. It would help us here tremendously. But just as a fan, I want them back. But they still, these are dumb, desperate half measures. And I think you just do it when we can all go. And if it's not safe enough for the fans and concession workers and stadium employees, it's not safe enough for the players. It's just not.
So what if they agree to it?
I just don't see. I don't know if all these guys would. If you guys got Chris Sale talking about it like this already, and he's not alone, I just don't see them doing it. I don't. I think you'd end up getting some guys that like need the paycheck. That aren't, you know, your name stars that haven't made a mountain of money yet. You'll get those guys. But are you going to get everybody? Probably not.
So, like, I've been saying, I understand why some guys wouldn't. But, geez, I would. So, I mean, I you know, it's all personal feeling, Murray. So, like, there's no right, there's no wrong. But, you know, I don't feel the way you do, which is, you know, these guys make a tremendous amount of money. It's a chance to take care of their families, set up their kids for the rest of their lives. There's a lot at stake. You know, they've devoted their lives to their craft, and they do incredibly well doing it. And the chances don't come around. You leave that money on the table, you're not getting it back. Okay, it's not like you can work into your 50s or your 60s. You've got a short window to make your money and set up your family. And what it requires is 4.5 months at the Ritz-Carlton in Scottsdale playing baseball. Wait, you call it prison ball? At that, you know, for those of you who've unfortunately been incarcerated, I don't know if you've been to Arizona or Scottsdale or these spring training sites. That ain't prison.
Well, low-level white-collar prison.
You know, so it's like, I mean, personally, I would do it, and I'd do it, if not happily, but I would just, you know, understand that that's how I have to support my family, by doing this. And it's, I mean, I would do it. I think most players would do it. And if they don't, and they say we're not going to do it, then that's fine. But then they don't get their money, and they don't get paid, and there's going to be ramifications in the next year as well, and it's going to all affect their bottom line. So if they all say, no, we're not going to do this, I don't want to hear them bitching and moaning about their money. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, look, to me, you know, I just have a hard time taking Sale seriously on it because he's not going either way. Like, the guy just had elbow surgery. He's going to miss the year. He's going to be home with his kids. So he's obviously, he can be at a stage of his life now where he's talking about his priorities and what's most important to him. And again, he's already made a good amount of money. Now, granted, he just signed a huge contract. These are his big paydays. But even so, it's not like he's a guy just breaking into the big leagues making $500,000. So, look, you don't want to play. I'm not going to sit here and judge you if your family's that much more important to you. But the other thing is, look, they'll be away from their wives and kids. They're not going to be in solitary confinement. They're going to be around the other players. So there is still a social aspect to it. And, you know, they won't be going and partying in nightclubs and wherever else and doing all the stuff they normally do.
I mean, never
but
mind.
But it's not like, yeah, they're not going to be in white rooms with the rubber walls.
I mean, and that's, you know, Chris Sale is different. But, you know, what about all the players, the reams of players that come from abject poverty in the Caribbean or South America or here in the States, for crying out loud? You know, not that we got it all good on every strata of society. So there's a lot of these players who are supporting extended families, and this is their only chance. Their only chance to get out of their backwater and where they. I mean, for a lot of these guys, what they grew up in. You're telling me to make my money, 4.5 months. I got to stay at a nice hotel in Arizona. And I can't go in and out, and my family can't see me for 4.5 months. I get to play baseball. I mean, that's really not much of a choice, I think, for the vast majority of those guys. It's really not even a hardship, given where they're coming from. So I'd be surprised if they voted it down, and I'd be surprised if the balance of the players wouldn't do it. And I think they should do it. I mean, I don't put my values on them, because, again, being away from your family for 4.5 months, if you've got the independence, the financial independence and everything else to make that choice, good for you. You're in that spot and you can tell everyone else to piss off. But I think the majority of those guys, the majority of us, would need to do it and would do it. So there's the follow-up on that. Did you just have another quick thought on Chris Sale, Maz, as it relates to his injury?
So the one thing I'd wonder now is, look, MLB and the union came to an agreement, if you remember, on who would be paid and how if there was no season played at all. And if I remember the numbers correctly, it's $170 million that will be distributed among the players with guaranteed contracts if there were no games to be played. My question is, does that include the injured guys? And when I say that, I mean, for example, Chris Sale wasn't going to play this season regardless. So if you're him or you're Dustin Pedroia, and he's another example, shouldn't you get your full salary? You weren't going to play this year no matter what. Now, I know the money's not coming in, and so that's the obvious variable, but it's not like the stoppage really affects Chris Sale or really affects Dustin Pedroia, because those guys weren't going to play this year no matter what.
Okay.
It's something that popped into my head.
Okay, so there's that topic. You want to weigh in on it? Your calls in our long commercial-free segment right after this.
Duggar Mass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I can't possibly see any player saying, yeah, sure, I'll go sequester myself in a biodome for 4.5 months to play baseball and I'll see my family. There's no way in hell I can see that. But just going back to your initial point and the possibility that maybe more likely.
I want to offer you an anecdote, actually.
Please.
Because, you know, I started hearing about this recently, and I wanted to run it by a couple of players. And I ran it by a player last night. And when I ran it by this player, he said exactly, I mean, almost word for word, Scott, what you said right there. And then this morning, he sent me a text, and he said, talked it over with my wife. She said if it means getting paid, I can do the 4.5 months.
So that I still think that's the line of the week from Jeff Passan. Now I'm not going to talk to my kid for 4.5 months through a screen. I'm not going to be quarantined in a biosphere. Screw that. He goes home. He talks to his wife about it. He says, well, honey, you make $19 million a year. We can handle the 4.5 months. Oh, okay. Well, then I guess I can handle it for 4.5 months. Never mind again. And I'll just, you know, dramatize it to play it up. The guy that literally grew up under a tin roof without running water in some, you know, some underdeveloped country in the Caribbean or, the, you know, South America, you don't think that, you know, you think he's going to say, no, you know what? I don't want the 4.5 months of isolation. I'm going to go back to, you know, where I came from and sit underneath the no, those guys are going to do it. And you know, all the you know, I mean, do you think that guy's worried about his mental health?
I mean, if a player that grew up in those type of conditions has now grown accustomed to a more pampered, plush lifestyle, I think it's a big ask. I do. And I can understand why, you know, you and others think look, they make all this crazy money. It's really not that long. I just think it's easier said than done. Because I just, for most people, we're now not even exactly at a month yet. And most people, I think, are ready to put their head in the oven. And some still get to go out and go to the supermarket, go for a walk. Everyone's crawling out of their skin. Basically 5 months for baseball players and that kind of isolation. And I know we're talking about nice hotels. You're going to go crazy at some point.
I'll tell you, though, like, Mike, you raise a good point. I didn't even consider it. The guys who are from, I think there's something like 30% of the players in the major leagues are Hispanic. I don't know what percentage of those are Dominican. But, you know, you go back to that old Pedro Martinez story about sitting under the mango tree and not having two nickels to rub together to ride the bus. So those guys, they're going to want to play. They will want to play.
Oh, my God. Of course. And, you know, I think they should. When you're in that point, you know, like, this is a rabbit hole, and I don't want to piss anybody off, but, like, you know, that guy who grew up under the tin roof doesn't have time to worry about his mental health. He has to worry about his health and the health of his family and the people around him, and it's like, you know, he doesn't even have time to consider that thing. He's got to consider supporting his entire family. And I think that guy's in Arizona yesterday, ready to go. So your thoughts on this and everything else? Here's Gabe in Framingham. Hi, Gabe.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
All right, so my thing on this whole, why don't they just make it volunteer? You know, you can, because obviously anything that happens from this season is going to have a big, big asterisk. No one's going to take it seriously who wins the World Series. So just make it volunteer. People can show up for a month. And that way it's almost like an all-star game.
So this is what I don't want, Gabe. And I feel the same way about the NBA playoffs. If they don't want to do it, if I'm having half rosters or even 75% of the roster, I'm not having full teams, I'm not putting any stock in it. I'll tell you what, the asterisk comment, everybody comes back and plays, even if it's empty buildings, even if it's neutral sites, even if it's in biospheres, I'm not putting an asterisk next to anyone. If the full teams are playing games, no, that's a championship. So I'm not the asterisk guy on that. But it would ruin it for me a little bit if we didn't have full rosters, Maz. I think these player unions either have to be all in or all out.
Oh, look, to me, they got to want to play. And I don't see the point in, like, what are we going to have, glorified AAA if we're talking about baseball? Like, I don't see the benefit in that. And this thing's going to be unique, but I disagree with them. If the regular players are there, I don't think there's an asterisk next to it. I mean, I think we will look back on it and go, oh, right, that was the pandemic year. They had to play games in front of, you know, no fans in an empty stadiums. But it's not like the games didn't count. So it's not like they didn't play or they didn't try.
The only asterisk I'll put on is the Montreal Canadiens. If they expand the playoffs to the point where they get in and they do anything, they're going to have an asterisk. Here's Aaron in Washington, D.C. on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hi. So I listened to the full Howard Stern Tom Brady interview yesterday, and I was pretty surprised there wasn't one mention of Deflategate, considering that was pretty much a whole offseason after the Seahawks Super Bowl, and then when he got suspended and had the suspension taken away and then got suspended again. And I think you guys talked about it every day for a good 6 or 7 months, and I just find it amazing that it wasn't mentioned once, and just how Deflategate has totally faded away. And I would have liked to hear Brady, because he didn't really open up during the whole Deflategate controversy. He didn't really open up after that. I would have liked to have known what really went on in his head during that time, and I'm a little disappointed that that didn't come up once. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
That's a fair second guess. You have a guy for 2 hours. You know, you have a guy for 2 hours. You think that might come up, but Murray, do you have a thought?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all by that. No one should, if you know or know the history of Howard Stern. He's not a sports fan. And I know he's got a team of writers, like 20 people on his staff that work, and maybe one of them should have did their little bit of more homework and written that, one of those questions for him. But just he himself, he was never going to ask anything like that, because he probably didn't even know what the hell it is.
It would have been nice to hear Brady talk about it publicly, but I can tell you, I can tell you, it's not like I had breakfast with him and he told me, but from what you hear, Brady was pissed, and he had a right to be pissed. And just go back to I still think, you know, the email that his former assistant sent him, and that, Mike, his name was Will McDonough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his former assistant sent him that said, hey, look, do not underestimate this. The Patriots just dropped this squarely in your lap. And I think that that was, you know, I think that that was the sentiment, or reflective of the sentiment from the Brady camp. And I think Brady was pissed.
So all I can say is, if Felger and Maz ever get Tom Brady for 2 minutes, never mind 2 hours, we're going to bring it up. Okay, so there's a promise to you. Here's Alex in Brookline. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, guys. Baseball needs this to happen just for popularity's sake. They need the players down there playing and be the only people on TV. And then maybe with, I don't know, raising TV ratings and people actually watching them because there's nothing else on, maybe they can give the players a little bit extra outside of the teams. But also it's maybe a good time, because the players will be traveling, to maybe do some more experimental things with baseball, ways to, like, make it quicker, because they're not doing travel. Maybe they could fit in, like, an experimental game each week where they do, like, a pitch clock and they do all their things.
So let me just stop you before we go too far, please. They barely have enough time to play the actual games, never mind experimental games. But they need to implement all this sort of fringe stuff they've been talking about to cram in as many games as quickly as they can. So, pitch clock, 7-inning doubleheaders, no mound visits, electronic strike zone, all of that stuff. And they've talked about it, and I hope they go through with it. I hope the players allow them to go through with it. Let me hit on the first thing that he said, Maz, because I know Colin Cowherd had a take about this the other day, that baseball can't survive losing the season because they're teetering as it is on popularity. Do you agree with that?
No, I think they'll survive, but do I think that of the all four sports, they'll be hurt the most? My answer is yes. So again, I think that there is, you know, people are fading from the game as it is. They have other better things to watch. And if you were to lose a season, and then heaven forbid, like the, and I mean heaven forbid from the baseball fans' perspective, that the NBA decides to shift its schedule so that baseball then has competition. position during the summer, baseball will lose a lot of fans. And they're going to lose fans anyway because a lot of people are going to say, you know what, I lived fine without it. I don't need it back.
But I'll tell you what, the other side, which has just come into focus this week, if they can be the first one back up and they can sort of fill a void, ooh, they've got a lot to gain. And
there's an opportunity there. That's right.
And if they give you a better product, if they give you, you know, if they implement some of these things we're talking about and it's streamlined and it's quicker and it actually ends up being a better product and it's the only game in town, oh, there's upside here that, you know, I don't think we even considered a couple weeks ago.
No question. Yeah. Again, the door is open. It's an opportunity for them to be the first ones and say, look, here we are. And then people will rally around it, celebrate it, you know, and because, again, we're all craving something at the moment. And if they can and if Manfred can use it to, again, jam the changes in the game down the throats of the players so that even the players say, what are we going to do now? The commissioner's coming to us saying, guys, here's what we're going to do because of the abbreviated schedule. And the players are going to say, man, we don't want to do that. Boy, will they look like a-holes.
Okay, so let's continue the conversation. I have another follow-up. We have another follow-up on Brady from yesterday that I would like to get to, and I think, you know, something we felt yesterday about the legacy question was hammered home for me overnight listening to some of the commentary on it. So we'll pick that up on the other side. It's Felger and Maz. Maz and I are on remote. Murray's in our Townford Tire Studios in Dorchester. Feels like the delay is a bigger factor today than it has been in the past, which I think led to a tremendous car crash of a sunshine day that we tried to sing with Paul Perillo earlier on in the show. I've heard it was just a complete cluster.
It was magical radio.
So it was either, depending on which side you're on, it was either magic or it was a complete train wreck. But you'll hear that in the final word coming up at the end of the show. But let's pick up the Brady conversation, the legacy conversation, after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.